In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Hearing the Word of God. We're going to be talking about marriage, and I have been a witness to many people who got married, and you know what? We never saw them again. The ones that I've seen, they were good people. They really were good people, but you know what? They never went back to the Eucharist, at least until the baby was baptized. So I have Mary Rose and Ryan here, Barrett, to speak about witness to love.
Father, thank you for having us. I'm Ryan.
I'm Mary Rose.
And we are so blessed to be with Father spending this day. It's the Feast of St. Lawrence. We just had Mass. You might hear some of the sounds of the domestic church, but we've been known Father for a long time, since 1999, and he has definitely been a big part of my life and helping us to understand, you know, God's calling for each one of us to not just have a little candle that we kind of hold close and don't let shine too much, but letting, you know, our lights and our lives be something that's so important to the kingdom of God.
And during what Father was just saying, when he was mentioning about, you know, couples that are good people, but often we just never see again after the wedding day, that I think the experience of most people involved in marriage preparation, whether it's priests, deacons, dioceses, parish leaders, I think everybody's a little jaded, a little frustrated, a little tired of investing so much time and energy in wonderful people that they never see again. And, there's no return on the investment. And so what needs to change? And I think what we discovered 10 years ago when we first discovered the Witness to Love process, the Witness to Love methodology, is that people don't want you to just share information with them. They want you to share your life with them. It's a lot harder to share your life than share information. You can get a microphone, you can get behind a podium, you can share, and you're done. But I think really what we want to spend time today talking about is accompaniment. Like, what does that actually look like, and why is it important?
Yeah, I think the church owes a lot of people an apology. You know, like, why would the church owe somebody an apology? Well, I think because marriage formation, preparing a young couple for marriage, is probably one of the best opportunities of evangelization. And we've had a period in the church where we see an amazing decline in marriage. Around 1970, there were around 450,000, maybe a little bit less, marriages in the Catholic Church in the United States. And even though the Catholic population has doubled since then, in the most recent years, the average number of marriages in the United States, as far as a couple of years ago, is around like 144,000. And so you may think, well, what's even the deal? I don't know, for everyone who's listening, what's the role of marriage in your life, if you see it as something that is worth thinking about. But I think we can see from forever that marriage is one of the most, not just the most stabilizing gifts for people, but it's also sort of the most fundamental building blocks of what it means to be a person and what it means to be a family, and also in families just being at the root of society.
Ryan always says that we really only discovered an early church model of marriage formation, and we usually refer to Priscilla and Aquila. Father Tom, can you share with our listeners what you know about Priscilla and Aquila?
They were friends of St. Paul. They were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. And they lived together. They needed each other.
I love that when you think about Priscilla and Aquila. And it wasn't really until the past, you know, couple of years that I think we discovered the gift of what, and sort of almost the mystery of what was going on there. In some ways, it's just sort of a passing account that St. Paul notes in the Acts of the Apostles. But I think we can see something which is a model for the renewal of the church in the United States that happens first and foremost in the home. Mary's and I get to travel. You know, Witness to Love is a marriage apostolate now used in around 80 dioceses throughout, primarily the U.S. and Canada, in English, Spanish, French, and Vietnamese. And if you want to know more, you need to go to witnesstolove.org, witnesstolove.org. And we're an apostolate that's really helping to open up the doors of what St. John Paul II would say is the domestic church. Or what we've kind of learned to adapt is that the home really needs to be a missionary outpost of the local parish. Now, I say that because I think what St. Paul was forming and supporting in the lives and the witness and the relationship of Priscilla and Aquila, that early married couples, was that they were going to be really a missionary outpost in their, let's say, whatever their neighborhood was in ancient Rome. But if we look at today's feast day of St. Lawrence, right, where St. Lawrence, you know, and the bishop went before him and to be martyred, and there were so many people being martyred, you know, and the priests were really, many deacons were on the front line. But you see also that there was a faith that needed to be formed in not just older converts into the church, but also just children. And what's probably one of the best places for the formation of faith in Jesus Christ is going to be in the home, and it's going to be in a home is really coming out of a marriage.
There's an expression we love to use: the virtue is caught, not taught. So you can learn about what it means to live a good life and what that could look like in a book. But when it comes to like our own personal habits, the way we make choices, our selfishness, anger, all the different ways that we don't live like Christ, it's so hard to do the right thing consistently day after day if there isn't somebody in our life like modeling that for us. It's easy to take the path of least resistance. And so, you know, in marriage, especially when you bring two people together and they're trying to, you know, live life together and live the abundant life together, and, you know, there can be a lot of friction. And so when you have another couple who's been married longer than you have, who's gotten through some of the times together, and they are, you know, sharing their experience, their life, their witness, they're helping you get up when you fall, day after day, you know, year after year. That's something we all need. And I think especially now, kind of in this post-pandemic world where, you know, everybody's still trying to figure all of this out, I think what was highlighted for a lot of people is that the life that they were living was a little too isolated, a little too inauthentic, a little too filtered, and that people really want real life, real people, but they don't know how to have those relationships. And so, you know, for many of us who, you know, maybe grew up in a divorced home, or our parents just weren't around, they worked a lot, it's hard to figure out what life is actually supposed to look like, and what marriage is supposed to look like, and what being a parent is supposed to look like. And again, that's something you can't learn in a one-day conference, and which is why in Witness to Love, mentoring is so important.
Yeah, the mentoring, or what Pope Francis calls evangelizing spouses, is really the model of Priscilla and Aquila, where couples, you know, like Nero said, they're not just sharing information. You know, anybody can get a bunch of information anywhere. You can go on YouTube, you can get podcasts, you can listen to great radio programs like Father Tom's, of course.
There's probably a book somewhere called Marriage for Dummies.
Yeah, something like that. But what's not out there, and which is sort of at the heart of what we do, is kindness and generosity. You cannot experience kindness and generosity through a PowerPoint presentation. No one is really going to sign up for martyrdom because of a PowerPoint presentation. I'm not saying everybody should be martyred today, but you get the point in kind of the Feast of St. Lawrence, is that the intellect is only a part of what we do. And we love this line, or personally this line from beautiful Mother Teresa, who said that kindness itself has converted more people than zeal, science, or eloquence. She said, kindness itself is like the main converter. And there's nothing else. And I think what Mary and I we like to speak to, and particularly when we have the opportunity to speak to clergy, or bishops, or parish leaders, is that we can't like get caught up in the institutional day-to-day corporate filling needs that sometimes the church can kind of seems like a priority. We have to remember that there's an urgency in St. Paul, that St. Paul understood the urgency about salvation that he somehow formed Priscilla and Aquila in, and they responded by opening up their homes, probably during a time where their lives were on the line because of what they were professing and the way that they were maybe even exposing themselves to getting in trouble with Roman emperors, right? I would imagine that was the situation. I wasn't living during that time. But even today, we'll see, you know, when there was lockdowns throughout the United States, there were churches that were locked even on Sunday. There was no mass on Easter in many places. And that there was a maybe the church in some ways is sort of lost on what can they be doing during this pandemic. Not all of them. I think the Joy Movement in Quincy, Massachusetts kind of took off, right, with Father Tom and Andrew and Father Matt. But I think many homes needed, you know, many domestic churches, many missionary outposts of the parish recognized that they had to do something and do it quick because we had to acknowledge, you know, that that Easter was coming up. We were at the end of Lent, and we had to make sure that Christ could be known among our children and that even hopefully that was reflected in, even into our neighbors.
The doors of the domestic church were open and the doors to many physical churches were closed during the pandemic. And I know a lot of people who pre-pandemic didn't really know what the domestic church meant. They didn't have any religious images in their home. They never prayed in their home, except maybe grace around meals. They didn't have any sacred space in their home. There's no prayer corner. There was no crucifix. It's just, you know, that's just something that they did at church on Sundays and it didn't really come home. But I noticed sort of post-pandemic and even during the pandemic, a lot of people, you know, posting pictures of their, their prayer corner or where they were watching Mass online or when they started listening to these great Catholic podcasts. And I think people started taking a little more ownership of how they encountered Christ. And it wasn't just like a 1 hour a week thing. And so I think, if anything, kind of looking back on the past, you know, feels like a year and a half now. Like, what are the takeaways and how is that going to impact your marriage, your life, your relationship with Jesus? And I think holding on to the things that matter and not just saying, all right, you know, things are opening up, you know, let's get busy again. You know, you may have now like your kids' sports competing with Mass time. You might have shopping and sports, you know, and the Olympics. And there's so many things competing for your time now, but you know, during the pandemic when the sports were canceled, you know, there's a time really to have a new focus on how you can be present. And one of the things we've spent this summer doing is sharing with people Be Light. And Be Light is a small group marriage discipleship experience. So go to witnesstolove.org and click on Be Light. You can learn how you can lead a small group in your home, friends that you know, couples from your parish, work, really anywhere in your community. But it's a 5-year marriage enrichment experience. It's free. It's for any couple, engaged, married, anywhere along the way. But it's just one way to deepen your relationship with your spouse, church, and with Christ.
We always like to kind of speak now for a moment to any of the couples who are married, who are people who are listening right now. One of the things I like to reflect upon, depending on how your marriage is, or you know, if you think it's what it is you want it to be, if it needs to be something else, we can't forget that marriage is not just about ourselves. That it's sort of an opportunity to bring light and salt into the world, particularly for our own families. I've heard it said before by Kimberly Hahn, the wife of Scott Hahn. She said that the most important homily your children will ever hear is your marriage. So the most important homily your children will ever hear is your marriage. So we go to church once a week, some of us more often than that, but at least once a week on the Lord's Day, we give that time, you know, to the Lord as a family. But all those other days of the week, Christ needs to be present and welcomed in our home. And because we need to be formed in Christ's love, we need to be formed in Christ's all of us. The things that St. Paul talks about, love is patient, love is kind, you know, love is not sort of presumptuous, and it's not a burdensome type thing, but there's sort of a joy, and it comes to that. But we're always kind of wondering, you know, we have five kids, old is almost 12, and our youngest is two, and we're always, you know, they're paying attention. And I kind of think, what is the homily that they heard about marriage? I remember one time, it seemed like a couple of kids were saying, oh, we don't think we're going to get married. I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, did we do something wrong? But, you know, they were just kind of going through the normal, you know, normal things in life. But it is sort of important to reflect upon what in the United States, our situation, like at St. Paul's time, what is marriage understood of in the United States today? I think over the past 60 years, we've had such a decline. God bless you, Father. We had such a decline in the Father Matt sneezed, but he's okay. We had such a decline in marriage, and I think it all began in 1960. In 1960, Connecticut versus Griswold redefined what the sexual act was about with the legalization of contraception. And I think, well, maybe that's not something that was a problem for you, but it was something that was a defining moment for the first time in history in a nation that was founded on Jesus Christ. And the Judaic principles in the Old Testament had separated fertility from the experience, you know, the relationship between a husband and a wife. And you think, well, maybe that wasn't a big deal. Well, 10 years later, what do we get? Roe v. Wade. So all of a sudden, 1960s, we defined what the sexual act was about. 1970s, we redefined what life was. I was saying basically, you know, in some metaphysical way, a woman can decide if she's having a child or not. In the 1980s, what happened, half like the women in the country started going to work, and maybe a lot of them had to. Nope, you know, this is not an indictment on people who have to do things to get by. But it was sort of a change when femininity was something that was not experienced just in the home. No big deal if that's what God called you to do, and you served really well. But there was, I think, a stability and a gift when the home was something that was felt as a family and with the husband and the wife were a team working together in whatever situation they were. And then in the 1990s, we redefined masculinity with all this kind of metrosexual stuff. And, you know, men wearing different colors. It doesn't matter if you like pastels and all that stuff. That's not the point. But there was sort of a redefinition. And then what happened not too long after that was the redefinition of marriage. You know, so now it could become wherever it wants to be. So you think in the past 50 years, What have young people seen when it comes to marriage? Maybe that's part of the reason why this has been such, you know, a drop off. The marriage is less more than 50%. But we know that God endures, that Christ endures, and the gift of marriage is that essential fundamental piece of the building block of society. And we felt a call, like from St. John Paul II, Pope Francis, we see now, to really, really follow Christ in building up and supporting the home as a missionary outpost of the parish so that these secular, wandering couples who just have never seen marriage can actually see it. Because when they see it, I think it's going to respond to a natural way that we were created to be a spouse, to be a spouse to the Lord and to be a spouse to each other. But the only way to really know that is if we see it.
And you know, as we're wrapping up our time together, I think one of the most important things to really remember is to really discern in your life, like how is God calling you to share, whether it's your experience, your marriage, or is there an area that you need to grow in order to do that? I think a lot of times we meet so many people who are like, wow, this is amazing, this is important, this is incredible, but what can I do? You know, we're all called to be saints. Marriage is not a second-class sacrament. And if we don't aim to be a saint, we might fall really short. And, you know, at the end of our life, what are we giving to God? Is it, you know, kids with good grades? Is it our toys and houses and adult toys, you know, boats and things? Like, what is it that at the end of our life we're giving? Really, the only thing we can give is the lives that we've lived, the ways that we've loved, the ways that we've shared God's love and witnessed his love to the world. And so to really think, like, who's going to meet you in heaven? If you die tomorrow, you know, how have you shared God's love? Who have you impacted? Whose lives have you touched? like, how many threads go back to the witness that you've given? Like, you know, Ryan shared earlier, you know, Father Tom, meeting Father Tom, you know, over 20 years ago. And, like, I have a feeling there's a lot of threads that go back to Father Tom. I know there's a lot of threads that go back to Ryan even before before Ryan and I met, and hopefully there's a few more threads going back to the two of us now. But just to think, you know, in your life, if you died tomorrow, if God came back tomorrow, if it was the end of the world tomorrow, like, would you have shared and done what you feel God is calling you to do?
Now, a little bit of a prayerful reflection in these past few minutes. This past summer, Mary Rose and I and our five kids rented minivans and drove across the country. We were in 8 or 9 different states on June 17th, and we were initiating and supporting marriage in these date nights. And one of the things that the Lord instructed us in this, and all these days of what we saw, is that, you know, in marriage, a couple can really understand a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And it's in some ways, it's really the personal salvation story of being healed. And I'll never forget, we were in on the West Coast, and we were kind of given this testimony and this story, and this lady came up to me, and after, she said, "I really want to tell you something." She said, "I can't believe I'm about to tell you that," she said, "but I want to tell you something." She said, "when you were telling you know a story about how just we felt kind of loved and healed in the sacraments and as we encounter Christ." You know, she said, "I want to tell you something." She said, "I had a major problem throughout my life of shoplifting." I was so surprised. And she said that she was so I was shoplifting, and just the other day, she said, "I had taken something and I actually got caught and arrested." And she said, "I've been married for years," and she said that. She was so embarrassed and couldn't believe that it happened. But her husband came and met her at the jail, and he said, and he took her by the hand, he bailed her out, and he said he just looked her in the eyes and he gave her like a kiss on her forehead and hugged her. He said he never asked what happened. He never wanted to know the details. He wasn't angry. He took her home, and she said she received the healing in that experience. She said because someone was there with her and had loved her. And so we never want to miss an opportunity to let kind of Christ be present to us in any time we encounter a friendship, and particularly the friendship in the sacrament of matrimony. We really feel that God fills in a gap in our lives in the sacrament of matrimony and family, and that in many other ways can't be done. And we never want to miss that opportunity to recognize that only God is perfectly faithful. Only God is perfectly fruitful. Only God is perfectly free. You know, only God is perfectly, you know, all those things that we try to do. But that doesn't mean we can't do that. But as Christ says, you know, in Him, we can be called to our perfection. And I think what that perfection means for married couples is that something becomes complete. I think God and the Holy Family, through the intercession, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, baby Jesus, can basically call and fill a gap in our lives. And so we just want to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and so that you can recognize whatever selfishness or sin or whatever it is in your life that has created a gap in your marriage and your family, that you would just pray that the Holy Spirit will come in and that the Holy Family can come in and make our families and our marriage complete, so that we can really be those witnesses of love that God is calling us to be in.
The church, by very nature, is missionary. And if we've lost that, we've lost the central meaning of the body of Christ. Missionary. In the second psalm, it says that I claim all the countries of the world. And I say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be in countries. I'm not going to be able to do it physically, but I'm going to do it on the radio, that people from other nations would listen to me and preach the gospel." It's missionary. It's all about being a missionary. And that I've learned through my 37 years on being radio and 42 years of being a priest, that the church, by very nature, reaches out to the nations, not only to the people in front of us, but to the nations. And that's what it's all about, reaching out to other people, because Christianity is caught, not taught. It's not taught. It's caught. When you see some people that have the virus of Christianity, you want it. You want it. I want to be like you. And St. Paul says the only way to gather the Jewish people is to make them jealous of what you have. So today, I ask you to pray for Ryan and Mary Rose. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.